So what up, you guys? Welcome to LO Designs Podcast. I'm your host, Lauren, and on this podcast, we talk about the struggle of being a creative. So please tune in where we listen to several guest stars talk about their struggles as a creative and enjoy.
Of course.
Okay, so if you could just introduce yourself and who you are.
Of course. Thank you, Lauren. My name is Natalia Celine Arias. I'm a multidisciplinary artist and designer from Miami, Florida. I received my BFA at MICA, Maryland Institute College of Art, in graphic design. But while I was there, I also had a heavy focus on sound art, illustration, and video and film. So through all those different areas and disciplines, I really found a passion for creative direction and exploring nostalgia through a lot of my work. My focuses are anything from music to film to food, and I always tie back diversity within all these different industries into my work. And I am currently based in Baltimore, Maryland. I stayed after I graduated, and I am also employed right now as Hungry Harvest's multimedia designer.
Oh, that's interesting. You handle so many projects, but that sounds so fun, like exciting. And another question I had too, like, as far as starting out, would you say you always started out as like an artist, or did you kind of like get into the creative field? Because you said you do multiple things too. And I think it's very interesting how you kind of like use different mediums of art and creativity to, you know, intertwine it in the work you do now. So yeah, I want to hear more about like that, like as far as like, how'd you come about with the creative journey?
Of course. So I think, I mean, as far back as I can remember, I was always drawing, painting, traditionally, since I was like 5 or 6. When I got into about middle school, I really got an interest in like Photoshop and combining my drawings and learning Photoshop. Also in middle school, I played 3 instruments. I played cello, piano, and bass guitar. That's really what I wanted to do. Sort of the art thing, I was always like, oh yeah, you know, I love to draw, but like music, I want to like be first chair cello somewhere. Mm-hmm. It was, and still is, just like a huge passion of mine. Though I don't play, I have an appreciation for orchestra and all things music. But it wasn't until like having an art class in high school where I got to really like hone the craft that I knew I wanted to be an artist or a creative of some sort. I know that my AP drawing portfolio classes, that's where I really got more into like illustration, and like I would draw out these like massive posters and patterns and like graphically inclined compositions, basically. And my teacher and mentor from high school, also a fine artist, Charles Humes, he believed in me to pursue just like going to college for the arts, and that was something realistic that I could do. So fast forwarding to college, I was accepted to MICA, and I fell in love with graphic design while I was there. I knew I was always very mixed media, coming in doing more like illustrations, which were always influenced by whether it was cartoons and film and TV or posters or rock album covers. I came in with like that sort of style. Also loved comics, and I always used ink and gouache and all sorts of materials to create. And so when I got to MICA, you don't start your major until about like sophomore year. And mm-hmm. So I decided to declare graphic design and work that multidisciplinary angle. That's when I discovered graphic design also gave you the most elective classes there. So I loved being able to take video classes, illustration classes. And my senior year, I took a live electronic music and media course. And so that's when I got more into learning like Ableton and being able to create music electronically. And I really credit that to any sort of like performative practice I have today. Using experimental and R&B styles of sound to create like soundscapes, doing spoken word poetry, things like that.
Oh, OK. Okay. And also, like, I wanted to also ask too, since, like, you know, you're a design student or you have been to like art school, like, how was your experience at MICA? Just because I, like, you know, I'm close by, you know, but I wanted to always like ask that question to people who, you know, who have ever been to MICA. Like, how was that experience like too?
Of course, of course. I think I'm very happy that I went. I don't regret my 4 years there. Did I have hardships there? Yes. It is a PWI that was very much felt throughout the experience there. Though I did love being a part of the diversity department, I found a lot of like sanctuary there. I also worked for a design as a designer for the diversity department there as well. So I think my whole process with MICA was always trying to find like that sanctuary where I could thrive, my interests. I was so happy to have had professors in the graphic design department that really saw me, especially through like my senior year and thesis. That was really important to me, to feel like I was very connected to who was there teaching or like giving out wisdom in that way. And I know things currently are improving with like professors of color and everything like that too. And also I also love with the graphic design department that, and since I've been there as well, they're opening up the exhibition spaces to more people of color as well, and just sort of having a very like wider expression of like what graphic design could be. So I do really love that too. I think, yeah, I think it's a mixed bag. I mean, I know people who completely would never go back. I find myself missing school, whether it's the people that I made like lifelong connections with, or just the environment where like it is constantly creative. It is like you're there to produce and you're there to share and you're there to interact. And also all the resources. I came from just a normal public school in a suburb in Miami. I didn't go to any of the like renowned art high schools there or anything like that. And so coming to
Same.
MICA, I was like, whoa, like there's all these printers and these other facilities and studios. And so I was very grateful and didn't take anything for granted there. And I think I've also learned, you know, what I would like to see the college do and to continue to thrive. So.
I feel like as time goes on and like I get closer and closer to like graduating too, I feel like even after I graduate, I still want to even try to go back. And even though I don't even go to MICA, but I live in the area, I feel that I still want to kind of even reach out and still see like the art things that they have here. Because in New York, it's like artists everywhere, but that's why and it's like when I come back home, like, oh, art is okay here. But then I'm just sitting here, I'm like, there's a whole art school with MICA, and like I want to kind of like still look and see what they have over there too. Like just look at expeditions, probably get inspired by other artists who are here. 'Cause it's like when you go to art school, you really do get that like flourish of creativity. And you're like, wow, art is like everywhere. So then now I'm just like, okay, let me connect with artists here and connect with artists there and let's see, like we can all collaborate. And it can be really exciting and really fun. So yes, I trust you on that one too, because
Yeah,
it's very fun.
I definitely agree. I mean, I believe wholeheartedly in building community and being with community in any ways possible. MICA has a lot to offer. I'm not really sure, like, you know, since COVID and everything with like exhibitions and stuff like that, I'm hoping like the bigger thesis displays will still be thriving, hopefully this year or the future, to check out because that is always an amazing weekend. And I love what you're doing. I think that's like, I know when this all happened, the first thing I thought of was if this happened to me when I was in college and I couldn't show my senior thesis and the years of hard work or, you know, specifically like senior year working towards everything, I've said this many times, I would have imploded. Also, I don't think I've done a couple like remote online sort of classes or, you know, intensives and things like that. But I, you know, back in high school or through college, I never really, of course there was like emailing and stuff like that, but I never did anything solely online. So I think I would have had some sort of like breaking point too. So I'm like amazed that students have adapted, and that, I mean, I'm so happy that you're doing this podcast. I think that connection is so important. Yes. And it's like such a key element of it all.
See, yes, that's what I've been doing too. The thing is, like, it's especially hard to like connect with friends and connect with people. I've just been trying my best to like talk to someone, go on LinkedIn, even just to find like just people to say hi to, alumni. Like, that's a good, I feel like alumni is a great way for young artists to talk to and connect with people who have already graduated. But yeah, it is hard. And I do support anyone who's still like going, because me, I kind of decided to stay home again this semester just because the world is just so crazy right now. And it's so hard to dictate what you're going to do next, what's going to happen. And it's crazy because it teaches you so much. Like, life can change instantly. But I think trying to still see the positive in it and still trying to work your way through it, I think that's just the best way, you know, you could go about it. And that's what I've been trying to do. I've been trying to make myself happy, but I'll have my moments where it's like, why does this happen now? Why does this happen when I'm in college? Like, out of all the times I could have done this, like, how about this could have happened before I started college? But I feel like you just have to like just go with the flow and just work it the best way you can. And that's, and if you know that's all you could do, then you know, you gotta feel satisfied as much as you can. And yeah, it's crazy because people who graduated, the thing is, like me, I'm in the middle of it, right? And some people are like, well, how about you, you're still going through it. But it's like, I feel like graduation year, that could probably be a most hurt too, just because you've been through all these 4 years, you know, working up to this point, and then that point is this boom, nothing else, no remake, you know. And it's just like, it's so crazy. But I don't know how kids do it.
No, I mean, it definitely is. And I think graduation is such a pivotal point as well. So mm-hmm. There's a lot of emotions, a lot to think about your creative direction in the world. But like you said, I mean, you're moving so positively through it all and taking it day by day. I am also, that's more new for me in this like remote sort of world. My job actually went full remote throughout the pandemic. We no longer have a Baltimore office space. We relocated to a larger warehouse space where it's sort of dual purpose. So like offices upstairs and everything relating to food downstairs, but that is in Landover, Maryland. And so we have a choice sometimes whether we want to commute or not. But for the purposes of design, I usually don't, unless I need to shoot products, which then would require me to pass by the warehouse and grab everything. And yeah, but I think that sort of like day by day mentality is important.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, and also another thing I wanted to ask you too is about being a multidisciplinary designer. Like me, I want to actually start just even saying multidisciplinary designer. Like I want to call myself, I'd like to call myself a multidisciplinary designer just because I like so many things other than just graphic design. Mm-hmm. But as far as like being a, like what would you say is being a multidisciplinary designer? First thing.
Yeah, I think, well, for me, I know that it's the only label that I've ever felt comfortable with, or like what feels right to me. I know like graphic designer in school never really felt right. Mm-hmm. Even with my job now, multimedia designer, like that feels good to like have that title, because it does have that like mixed media, you're not just doing one thing sort of like connotation. But yeah, I think multidisciplinary to me just means like not being put in any kind of box, which I know in school that was like my biggest issue, where I felt like restricted in some classes, or I would bring in something that's more more multidisciplinary or mixed media, and feeling like I had to live up to being like one type of creative or one type of designer, which isn't really like the reality.
That's great though. See, now I want to call myself this. But the thing is, what is like, and also
should.
Yeah, I think I should. Because the thing is like, I don't want to, that's why I like multidisciplinary designer, just because it's still being a designer in a way, but you do multiple things. And that's the thing. In having talks with other guest speakers and stuff, I didn't know that was even a thing. I like all this whole time when I was like going into my career, I was like, damn, what am I going to choose? What am I going to be? Am I going to be UX UI or I'm going to be this? And then I think it was like a guest speaker that was like multidisciplinary designer or multimedia designer. I'm like, they have that? I'm like, I can sign up for that one. Like, that's perfect. So that's actually great to hear though. And yeah, I should consider myself that and start putting that on my resume and everything else, update my life as far as a designer. And also another question is like, what is like the everyday life for you as a, you know, multidisciplinary design artist?
Of course. So I think in the remote world right now, I do not have any sort of airtight routine as I used to, mm-hmm. but it is waking up and working from home for Hungry Harvest. My calendar pretty much keeps me together as a human being. And whether it's work or personal obligations throughout the day, that's how I pretty much stay organized. And so with Hungry Harvest, because I have this like multimedia role, I do anything from taking product photos to designing digital and print ads, event materials. I just designed a tent for an event in Philly in a couple weeks that I'm so excited to see with our new branding. I work on a lot of UX UI projects right now with our new lead. So the entire spectrum, I honestly never get bored. I also have a hand, which I love because I think it encompasses all my interest over time. I have a big hand as a member and the co-chair of the DEIB committee, Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and Belonging. So I get to plan events, talk with the manager, and design materials for Hungry Harvest's reach in that way too. Mm-hmm. So I really do love that. So aside from the job, I also am doing like the 365 day design challenge right now.
Oh yeah, I wanted to ask about that.
Day 215 or so, I think, right now. And so that also at some point I make that post per day. That started on February 2nd and I'm still going strong with it. And then also with that, I think my days pretty much just end with like cooking or watching TV or movies, and trying to get a decent night's sleep. Sleep has been hard to come by lately, so
I can imagine that. I like, and that's what I was gonna ask too, as far as like work to life, like you say you have a calendar, like I think that's very important. I've been trying to do that too. It now with school coming up, I'm just like, how the hell am I gonna do this? How am I gonna like do a podcast and do all this stuff? So yes, work to life balance. Oof.
Yes, and I think, you know, whether it's Apple Calendar, Google Calendar, just having it synced to all my devices with like reminders, that has like saved my life. And I'll even schedule out like dinner and just stuff like that sometimes, where like if I feel like I'm go, go, go that day, I do have to stop and like actually take care of myself. And so that's, it's been more on me, or like I feel, I'm 27 now and I've been saying like I feel like my age in my bones. Everybody's like, no, you're all right. Like, you're still young. It's like, really? Because I feel like it's been like since 25, I feel like things have definitely developed, but with the pandemic, I feel like time hasn't been so real, and like every day is kind of a blur, and like I really need like even more of a routine than I normally have, or something to sort of keep things moving and interesting. And so that's also with like design 365, it's like that's been nice, because I know like wake up, make the post, start work, then whatever develops throughout my day, cool. Also with that, whether it's like me working personally on art or for work, like the Magnet app, I believe it's called Magnet for mm-hmm. MacBook Pro. That's been really cool because it it may be small, but it helps me. It like organizes your windows.
I'm writing that down right now.
It sorts your windows in a specific way. And I love, like, if I'm working on multiple projects, or even if I'm like trying to watch something while like having Illustrator open or something like that, I love that I can see my calendar, see Netflix, see my design screen. Like, I do like having like a lot of moving parts at once to like keep me stimulated, I guess. Also the Flow app is really nice. I'm usually someone who like religiously keeps my phone on do not disturb and stuff like that anyway. Mm-hmm. But with Flow, it's like a productivity app where you start it. It's like a timer, whether it's 60 minutes or 30 minutes or 15 minutes. I love getting really in the zone with that, especially if I have to focus solely on one big project. And then once the timer's up, it'll like cover your entire screen with like a break.
Ooh,
you know, like whether it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes. So it's like, okay, yeah, I know I can step away to hydrate, or step away to grab a snack, or step away to fuel myself back up in whatever way. Also with Flow, you can tell it apps that you don't want to access during that time. So if I'm getting a bunch of messages and try to click on it to answer, it'll just like kick you out of it, which is awesome. Because sometimes like just the different things that pop up will like be distracting. And yeah.
Yeah,
that might have been a bit of a ramble, but
no, it's okay. You're giving me some connections because I need this for my life. I'm sitting here, I'm like, ooh, this looks like the interface is beautiful. I'm like, oh, that's the thing.
Oh my gosh, okay, cool. You're looking it up right now.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I just put it in a different tab. I was like, let me just check this out. But no, I don't know. When it comes to like apps, I love looking at productivity apps, things to like, you know, help me move, help me get up, and like so I'm gonna take a look at this like in a deep scroll night. And also what I wanted to ask too is like about the 365 challenge. Like, how do you motivate yourself to do that? Because me myself, I'm just like, I tell myself, oh I can do this, and then the day comes and I'm like, damn it, I forgot a day, or shit, I missed something. Like, how do you push yourself to do it?
Yeah, of course I can stick to a lot of that, because I think so right before the pandemic, I was involved in like a poetry and sound event, did like the backing sound for many poets. It was an As They Lay event put on by Abdu Ali here in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. And so after that, I felt this was right before the pandemic. I felt so inspired. I felt like I wanted to create again. I felt geared up towards positivity in so many ways. I was also going to a bunch of concerts. My last concert pre-pandemic was Baby Rose in DC, hometown show. That was phenomenal. And so I really felt like, yeah, I'm ready to get back into creating, or I'm ready to do XYZ, or I'm ready to apply to things. Then the pandemic happened. Mm-hmm. And I was in this weird, like, I'm starting something and I'm not finishing it, or I'm looking at past ideas and I try to start it and, you know, it just, a point came where, okay, I don't want to work on this anymore. And nothing was really sticking. Mm-hmm. If anything, I found myself like applying to certain things with older work, or I did have one like zine sort of commission, and that was probably which was sound-based, again, kind of finding that again in 2020. But I very much like was only workshopping a few things and didn't, like, I couldn't push anything to the end. During winter, I'm very affected by like the different seasons here. I'm from Miami. I'm used to sunny tropical weather. So every winter here is like a real
hit to the face.
Exactly. It's a real hump to get over. And so around January, I was still trying to like dig myself out of, okay, you're not making newer things right now, but like, I know it's going to come. I know it's going to come. But I was questioning, you know, at that point too, like I wasn't feeling insecure about anything regarding art. I was just wondering, like, have I lost my spark? Mm-hmm. That was mainly what I was concerned with. Can I find that like creative spark, childlike wonder again, as mm-hmm. I always have had? So February 2nd, Hungry Harvest had a breathing meditation sort of workshop offered to us. And during that workshop, we had to like grab a notebook, do a couple writing exercises, go through the breathing exercises. And I found a notebook that, you know, I was writing on the opposite page, but on the page before that, it was maybe like 2 or 3 years ago. And it was a list of goals that I wrote that I never crossed off. But looking at it this year, I could cross off everything except one.
Ooh.
So that really like took me back. And I was like, wow, yeah, you know, I did attend that residency in Italy. I did, you know, accomplish this performance, da 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 da, you know, going through the list. And at the end of that workshop, feeling super centered after the breathing exercise and like our meditation, I was like, wow, okay, well, like, what do I really want to do right now? Like, what is really driving me right now? And then that posed the question for me, like, what does adventure look like during a pandemic? And like, I rose to basically saying like, oh, well, in an ideal world, like I want to play every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so once that all clicked in my brain, I started that night. I made my first 365 post. And it was about, it was called A Nod to My Former Self, because something I've also been thinking of throughout this whole pandemic time is a lot about my mindset of the past and how I sort of almost want to like eradicate that in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Always sort of growing and learning and becoming better as a human and just like beyond. And I think with 365, I think it's a mix of honestly everything. Musings, textural paintings, daily inspirations, inner thoughts, any sort of feelings that I've had throughout this whole time. But I also think like it is a way to transport myself out of my little one bedroom. It makes me feel less alone as well to be able to share work so publicly. And I think that's what it's all about too. Like, even if I hate it the next day, I still went and shared something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's definitely something I was like wary of before, like putting myself out there in terms of design and posting every day. I would share everything I would be involved in, of course. But the account was something I started and it wasn't active. And I made that complete switch February 2nd.
I think that's beautiful though. And especially like just motivating yourself and pushing yourself to do it like day by day. I think that's like, it's very strong. And it's like kind of like a self-discipline thing for you as an artist. Like, you know, I can do this. Like, I shouldn't have to worry about, you know, what is it going to look like? And da, 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 da. And I feel like when you push all those thoughts to side and really get going, like that's what pushes yourself and makes you want to go and keep doing more. And comes a series.
Definitely. Definitely. And I think you saying push myself made me think about it. Basically there also is no structure to it. I kind of wait throughout the day. If I'm like passionate about something or feel very wrapped up and like feel very like in awe about something, I'll make something based off of that. I know that then the opposite sometimes happens where it's like I'm sitting one night and I'll make like 10 things And I'll be like, okay, I'll post 5, or okay, cool, I'll post these 8, maybe in this order, or if I'm not feeling it this day, I'll post it some other day. And so my phone and my laptop and my desktop are just filled with all these different files, different paintings, different textures, different photography that I do.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask too. Like, what, like, is it, because there's a lot of like 365 challenges. But with the one you're doing, is there something like specific? Like, are you working with something like a medium, or is it like you said, a pattern? Like, what is your 365 challenge about? Like,
yeah, I think it's, there definitely is no medium constraint at all.
Mm-hmm.
I think that takes away from like the theme of play that I'm going for. I want it to be completely experimental. There's even like a video. There's also some times where I play with video on there as well. I'd love to get more of like my sound work on there. That's something I think I'm working on to release more publicly soon too. But some days it's hard. I wake up and I want to quit it.
Mm-hmm.
but I don't, because I know that, you know, the days that I maybe do feel uncomfortable with it, I should, like, that's a good thing. I want to feel uncomfortable. I want to be doing something new. And at the end of it all, I'll just archive what I don't feel like is stronger or, and I've been thinking about that a lot too. Like post, so when the challenge, this was not intentional at all. When the challenge ends on February 2nd, 2022, which is 2222, what will the account look like, or what will I use the account for? But I think there's a lot of wonder and excitement in that, like sort of planning out what I could really make it into.
Mm-hmm.
Post that. So yeah.
Okay, I like that idea though too. And also, this is a podcast for like the struggles. So I want to start asking like the ultimate struggle on this podcast, and that is, what do you struggle with as a creative?
Of course. I think so. I had mentioned as I was going through the questions, I had looked at an interview that I did 3 years ago, and it was basically the same answer. I struggle a lot with productivity and like the root of that, dictating my self-worth. And so, but I know in reality that is not a thing, like squash that now. So I always have to remind myself to like eliminate those negative thought patterns and self-talk. And I think what helps me is not only affirmations, but reflecting on everything I've sort of done and accomplished up until this moment. And really like seeing the scope of everything I've done and knowing that I'm still here and I am going to do more.
Yeah, that's what I've been talking about with a lot of artists too. It's like, I think we get so caught up in like what we need to do or what our future has ahead of us, and or focusing on what we're not good at. And instead of focusing on the bad, we don't focus on the good. Like, you know, what are your accomplishments? What have you done that's been like, wow, like I really did this? And I'm telling you, like, I struggle with this too. Like self-doubt. And it sometimes it could be with people. Sometimes a family member could be like, I don't like that. And then you're like, damn, like, I'm not good. I'm not a good artist. Da-da-da. And then you get into this hole and it's like, all right, you have to eliminate those thoughts, and you could be your own biggest enemy too. It's like, that shit is crazy. And yeah, what I try to do is like, I don't know. I still don't know what the hell I can do when it comes to that. Just cause like, it's hard. But I think reflection is like a good way to, you know, push yourself out of that as well.
Definitely. And you talked about yourself being your biggest enemy, and I definitely, have related to that pretty much like all my life. Zine Commission, that was a sound piece last year that I made, was it was called The Mirrored Ear, and it was really about that, sort of trying to overcome anything within myself that was holding me back, and 2020 just being with the pandemic and beyond that, just being a year of complete reflection and spending so much time with yourself that you might lose it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
And how do you feel about like the importance of work to life balance? Because another thing you said too is like affirmations. And I feel like mm-hmm. not just with artwork, I feel like saying affirmations too can really like help on a daily basis with your mental health and like, you know, growing that positive confidence within yourself. But and how do you go about like writing affirmations? Do you write it like day by day, or do you say them to yourself in a mirror? Like, I know this is like very specific, but I'm curious.
Yeah. Oh, it's okay. So I usually write them down. I'm trying to get in a really good habit of keeping like a single journal, mm-hmm. but I've like never been good at, like, I love getting like new sketchbooks or new little notebooks or new journals, and then I'll like write a couple things and then like drop it and then start something new. So really during this whole pandemic time, I've been focused on like bringing it out of Notes app on iPhone and really like keeping a solid journal just to write affirmations down and just journaling in general. I want to really get back into doing that physically. And again, not just on a phone and Notes app. I also picked up an exercise by my friend Jalen Harris, who's a poet here. They taught me about like picking, let's say 10 objects, right?
Mm-hmm.
And around you, and then making a poem out of that. And when we did it together, I realized how present it made me feel. Mm-hmm. So I really like doing that if I remember throughout the day, or whether like more time has passed and I still end up doing it, it makes me feel very, very present. Especially if it is during a work day and there is a million things going on, plus 365, plus personal stuff, I think it really grounds me. So that too, along with journaling and everything else, has been helpful when I can do it. But I really want, like I said before, just like a more airtight routine with it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. But I like that incorporation with like writing and writing poems and stuff too. I took I think it was called multimedia. I took a multimedia writing course during the school year. Amazing. And my writing teacher, like, shout out to Davida if she's listening to this, because she is amazing. But my multimedia writing classes really made me connect with not just myself as like a, like, you know, my, with my career, but as an artist too, and just myself in general, because we would do these things with writing, just, you know, like, I did like a chapter book course where it's like you pick a theme and then you write based off of that. But I really didn't notice like how writing and how other forms of different mediums can help incorporate in your artwork, because you let the thoughts flow and you write it on paper, and then that thought can turn into a design piece, or that thought can turn into an artwork piece. And it's funny too that you mentioned sound, because she did this thing where, and we would, this is the whole funny thing about this writing course, we would have to write things and say them out loud. And I like that aspect just because I can write down what I wrote, because things in my head doesn't sound like the things I say. Mm-hmm. So I would have to think and preview and review it, but I'm doing the most, but I'm like, okay, this is actually like good though. And she had this like, and it was like the last day, and she did this all on Zoom. So shout out to her for doing that too, because I don't know how she did this. And there was like the last day, and she like, she said that we can, you know, incorporate sound in it. And personally, be like, this is like something secret I did. I like mute the person so I wouldn't get distracted with the sound. But then it's like, I'll play it back and I'll re-listen to it. And I'm like, oh, it's very interesting, like, to incorporate sound. And the other guy was on Zoom too. So he had all these instruments, like a flute, an accordion. It was really like, he was going in deep and this was hilarious. But yeah, like incorporating music and incorporating your writing and, you know, workshops like and stuff like that. And there was also things that I found too, where it's like, you go on Zoom and you could read your work and then someone else can play music in the background. I don't know. That's just very interesting. And it took me out of my comfort zone. But I think doing stuff like that, like doing things that are new and different, can really be exciting to like your world as an artist.
I completely agree. And I think it'll inform you in ways you never thought would be possible.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it really can. Like, and you'll be surprised as far as what you can create. As far as, and that's the thing too, I don't see myself, you know, as a writer. But having someone who does like multimedia, you know, writing and, you know, inspires you to, you know, journal, do this, write down your thoughts. And she also like, she was just very inspirational too, you know, and I would say that things to her, like sometimes I'd have creative block or, you know, I feel like I have so much built up energy and she'd say like, go on a run or something like that. Like this woman was like my therapist, but, it was good to have that because sometimes people that support you and motivate you to do different things aside from what you mainly do or people know you for, it can really make you understand like the full circle of your life and who are you and define yourself and love yourself. So yes, that's very positive in a way. But yeah,
yeah, which is all very important. And then, you know, especially when it all happens organically, I think that's so empowering.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like you said, integrating it to your current practice and seeing how that can grow and evolve, I think is always amazing.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to ask, so this is like my questionnaire portion now. What inspires you? Would you say like inspires you to create certain pieces or inspires you within your work?
Yeah, I think anything related to music, film, food, the like BIPOC alternative scene, like any, so much inspires me day to day. I think more recently for 365, it's been a lot of, I say 365 because that's one of the key things I'm working on right now. But I think it's been a lot of like conversations with friends and taking that from text or call to like an image or of some sort, or a photo piece or something that's both. I also think like artists, creatives, like, Solange Knowles and Halsey, they inspire me a lot because, which I think any artist that like transcends multiple fields in a way, always does. Gelaro Negro is someone who also has a place in the fine art world, but also in like a popular music world as well, or just something more commercial too. So I think, that is what comes to mind.
I think after talking to designers, I love asking this question because they get so lost because they're like, what inspires me? Some will be like, what inspires me? I don't know. And then some will be like, everything inspires me. And it's so funny to ask this because you really begin to understand how much the culture of you, I should say, has an impact on what you create. Like, and I'm not meaning like, you know, culture, just like heritage and other things like that. I'm meaning like, you know, what do you love? If you were to define yourself as a culture, like what would it be? And I really think that inspiration of what you like and, you know, what you eat or what you see, what you watch on TV, what you listen to, like all of that defines you. And I think that's what makes everyone unique. But to hear that and hear and see how it's reflected in people's artworks, I don't know. I think it's amazing.
It's a beautiful thing.
And also, like, what is your, I would say, like, not ultimate goal as a designer, because I know like there's so many goals that designers have, but as far as like moving forward, like what would you want to achieve as like a goal per se?
Yeah, I think I definitely want to continue to achieve success by my means. And for me, that basically encompasses being surrounded and supported by my family, my friends, and just pursuing what I love to do and cannot live without, which is the creative field in many ways. Like I mentioned before, who inspires me, they have a true presence in like multiple fields, whether it's being known for fine art or more performative practices versus like the commercial presence, or in this case, like design. I would like to reach some sort of status like that. And also, I would love to keep making genuine connections and just making those connections that could lead to like collaborative ventures, all being respectful and reciprocal, of course, because collaboration means a lot to me. I don't just work with like anyone. For me, it's much deeper, and like I think there's so much trust that goes into it. So yeah.
Oh, okay. And also, I'm gonna be like wrapping up this podcast, so is there any other like final advice you would like to say to any young designers out there who are probably either going through the same struggles or, you know, just in the creative world living?
Of course. I think I would leave it at always fight for what you believe in. That was something someone told me in college that has stuck with me till now. Mm-hmm. So I would pass that along also.
That's beautiful. And that is true. So hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. Feel free to tune into the next podcast, and always remember to do what your art desires.